You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
It is a Wednesday, and this is our new weekly feature, The World of Work. And in World of Work, we focus on things that affect you, that have to do with everything wherever you are working. Last week, you will recall, we talked about salary negotiations. And this week, we talk about the CCMA. Now, at the point at which you find yourself having to interact with the CCMA, obviously, there's been a dispute, something went wrong. Can be very emotionally difficult time for you, and it's not the perfect time to suddenly calmly try and understand how this beast works. So this is your chance. So you can call in if you've got questions. We're going to do our best to help you for the next half an hour. If you have curiosities about the CCMA, what do they actually do? What do you have to pay? When do you go? What powers do they have? Any and all of your questions. 011-883-0702 in Joburg and in Cape Town, 021-446-0567. Natasha Moni joins me. She's a labor specialist and a director at Moni Attorneys Incorporated. And I said to her that I'm in her hands this half an hour. She wants to be in my hands, and at the same time, she's already given me work to do. So I don't believe her when she said that she wants to be in my hands. Natasha, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Eusebius. Really glad to be here. And I think maybe we should be in the listeners' hands.
I think that's actually best, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because I want to know what the listeners most want to learn from you in relation to the CCMA. So perfect. Whatever questions you have, call us, and Natasha will answer them. So I'm going to ask you just stupid questions. We'll take it from there. But please feel free to redirect the conversation, because I'm a complete ignoramus when it comes to the CCMA, like a lot of workers are. Mm. You've given me this form. It looks very scary.
Can I tell you what that is? Mm. It's a form LRA.711. It is your dispute referral form. So if you believe that you have been dismissed, this is the form that you will pick up, and this is the form that you will fill out. And please fill it out as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Because there is a time frame that the CCMA gives you. And it's a very small time frame. It's only 30 days. And that is what you get in order to refer the dispute. So now the CCMA is actually an arbitration house specifically for employment law.
Okay.
So it is capable of resolving disputes, but only employment-related disputes.
Hmm.
And they have two areas that are what we call in law jurisdictional areas. In other words, you knock on the door, they're going to open it for two reasons only, and that is if you're an employee and if you've been dismissed. There are other things that the CCMA will hear, but for the purposes of today's talk, can we only talk about dismissal?
Hmm.
Okay, I think let's start small. Before we go big.
So if I get dismissed and I believe that I was dismissed unfairly, my first question would be, when do I know that the CCMA is the right route to go? Or when do I go and I find in the yellow pages the number of very expensive attorney Natasha Moni?
I think that you need to immediately go to the CCMA. Attorneys really do not get involved and should not get involved with dismissals related to misconduct and dismissals related to poor work performance.
Wow.
And that's the beauty about this process. This process is free. Now, there are people that stand outside the CCMA and they charge for their services. And yet, the CCMA Johannesburg, for instance, has an office.
Mm.
It is outside the building, so it's clear for you to see, and they charge nothing to assist you. And all they do is they assist employees filling out this form that I've given you, the form LRA 7.11. And the first thing in this form is filling out your details, all right? And on the second page, you fill out the employer's details. Please, 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 I can't stress this enough. Nothing that you do in law is done by ambush. If you get your employer's details wrong, then unfortunately, you'll go through the process, you think you will have won, but your employer, when they find out, and they normally just find out when the sheriff comes and attaches the goods, all right, that that you have used the incorrect information, and they'll ask for a rescission and they'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that delays the process. And remember, if you're declaring a dispute at the CCMA, you have no livelihood at the moment, because your livelihood has been taken away from you.
That's right.
All right, so please, it needs to be filled in correctly. Then on the second page of the Form 711, it asks you whether you are working for a TES or not. And this is new in our law, because what has happened is that you have agencies who pay you your salary, but you are actually under the control of somebody else.
Okay.
All right. And that means that you may have two employers. So please fill it in carefully there. All right. Very simply, on the side of the form, it actually...
So what does that refer to? Is that like outsourcing?
It's like outsourcing, but it's a temporary employment service.
Okay.
All right. I normally tell my clients, please, if you are unsure, put it in. All right. It can always be taken out either by the temporary employment service.
Okay, so you lose nothing. You put in both. So let's say, for example, I work at Prime Media. I'm a cleaning staff member, mm-hmm. and I'm here because of some sort of outsourcing company. Mm-hmm. But Eusebius gets pissed off, and the bosses decide and say to, I don't know, the person that has done the outsourcing has been done from.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want that person to be around from tomorrow. They're mm-hmm. upsetting certain staff members.
Mm-hmm.
When that person goes to the CCMA, will they have a case against Prime Media or against the company that they have the direct contract with?
I would put in both to begin with.
Okay.
All right. The CCMA has two processes when they listen to your dispute.
Hmm.
They have one process which is called conciliation, and that is trying to resolve the dispute. They don't look at the facts. They look at the issues. And they look as a forward-looking process.
Hmm.
So they try and see how can we resolve this process. It is at arbitration that these kinds of things will come up. If not before, and that is when the commissioner will handle it. The commissioner will decide who is the employer, all right, and you are guided then by the commissioner.
Okay, we've got some calls here already. Shall we take one, or shall we talk a bit more about this process? Maybe just one or two more questions. I have just some obvious ones, right?
Yes.
So I fill in this form. I assume there will be a hearing where you will then hear oral evidence to go with whatever I've put on the form, and where I've told my story based on page 3 and any overspilling that happens on another page that I might attach. What happens after that?
Okay, so the most important part, and thank you for this question, because the meaty parts come later, and that is the date of the dismissal. Be very careful about that, please. It is in terms of Section 190 of the Labor Relations Act, and I know that many people don't like it when lawyers turn all lawyer-like on them, but it really depends on when the employer stopped hiring you or the last day that you worked. And if you do not fill that in correctly, then there are problems. And mm-hmm. we can talk about that later, because we need to take calls. But most importantly is, if you've been dismissed, whether orally or in writing, the employer has to prove two things in terms of fairness. The employer has to prove that the employee has been dismissed fairly in terms of procedure, okay, and also the reason. All right. And we can talk about that afterwards when we take calls in terms of the reasonable employer test and also what the case law has said on how one runs disciplinary inquiries.
Okay. Richard, good morning to you. What is your question?
Hello.
Go ahead, okay. Richard. Tell us your story and the question you have.
I just need to ask, if you have been dismissed, is it really important to first appeal within the company? Or can you just go straight to the CCMA?
Excellent question, Richard. We're going to note that one down and take a couple of them and then answer them as a batch of questions, Natasha. Our second caller, Epson. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. What is your question?
My question is, I need to lodge a dispute against my previous employer, but I don't have the address where they work in. Because what happened is they used to work in a certain office, but then they moved, and then they're working in a private residential office. So now where they're working, even if you go there, you ask for a letter, they type the old address where they used to work.
Such a stunning practical question, Epson. And I can tell you, Natasha is an admin goddess. She's going to give you the answer in a second. Marissa, good morning.
Hi, my name is Marissa, and this is my question. I work at a bank, and the corporate culture at this bank where I work, there's so much sexual harassment. It's actually part and parcel of the culture. To add to that, I really don't think that if I were to even flag this for HR, they would be on my side or even give it any of their attention. So I haven't been dismissed, but suffice to say that I don't feel comfortable working there anymore. I'd love to know, what are my options? What process do I need to follow? And particularly, do I need to go through HR before approaching the CCMA?
That's such a very difficult but important cultural question. And it will be interesting to hear from Natasha whether that's something that falls under the ambit of the CCMA. I will take one last question. This one I'm going to take from Twitter. So note this question as well. Makonde says the following. If you resign under a constructive dismissal condition, can the CCMA get involved? Now, if you want to know the answer to these stunning questions, and many of you did not call in, some of these questions will be true of your own situation. You will get the answers on the other side of this.
Eusebius McKaiser on your number one news and talk station.
Usually in talk radio, when the phones are ringing off the hook, we get excited. It means that you love the content. In this case, it is not a pleasure, because this is an indication of just how commonplace workplace abuse is in this country, which is why so many of you want help from Natasha. And we are going to run out of time. We'll see how long we can get it for. But let's just answer some of those very stunning, practical, and some difficult questions there.
All right. Thank you, Eusebius. Firstly, Richard, you have been dismissed and you want to know whether or not you should appeal. You need to declare a dispute at the CCMA within 30 days. So if this appeal can be heard within that time frame, then I would say go for it. But if it can't, please refer your dispute timeously. If you do not refer your dispute timeously, you have to ask the CCMA for condonation. Another big legal word, and this is what it means. You're knocking on the door, okay, and the CCMA is there, but they will not let you in. So you have to go cap in hand and you have to say, I'm so sorry, I'm late. Please let me in. My lateness is only X amount of days. I have phenomenal prospects of success. And if you let me in, I am not going to prejudice the other side. In terms of
Is it compulsory to appeal internally just because an appeal mechanism might exist?
No, it's not. And in fact, there is nothing in the law that that says you must do it.
Okay.
All right. So you're not prejudicing the employer by deciding to take it to the CCMA at all.
Makes sense.
And really, I believe that it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. You need to get it over and done with. This is your livelihood at stake. Once you've been dismissed, the company should, but for all intents and purposes, stop paying you. So why would you give the company some more time?
That's a very good
point. To fix their mistakes.
And also, like, let's be honest, sometimes, if not often, bad will has crept in. And even though there is, from a process point of view, an attempt to be hygienic with processes so that you don't get in trouble if the CCMA is a corporate, sometimes corporates have already taken decisions and they go through the motion. So I'm not saying every corporate should be tainted with the same brush, but it's I've seen examples myself of friends in various companies where, quite frankly, the process that was set up was disingenuous.
More often than not, and this is what I remind all employees when I go to companies to sit as a disciplinary inquiry chairperson, more often than not, if a company has taken the route of putting together a disciplinary inquiry, they are saying to you that the employment relationship is broken.
Yeah.
So, yes, you're right. Mm. I'm not saying that the companies are disingenuous. I'm just saying that enough is enough, and they don't want you back.
Sure.
They do want to go through the dismissal route. Absalom, I think that's what his name was, Eusebius, he said he has this dispute. He wants to send it to the employer, but they've changed their address. Well, good news, Absalom. Your service and filing of your Form 711 can also be done by email. All right. Please, please, please take down this number, everybody. It is the CCMA hotline, 0861 16 16 16. I know it off by heart because I phone it often,
okay,
too.
Okay, give it to us again. We'll write it down and we'll repeat it.
0861 16 16 16. Phone them. Take them into your confidence. Tell them, this is my situation. I can't serve this document on the other side, and you won't hear my matter until I serve the document on the other side. I only have an email address. Is that okay? More than likely, it will be.
Hmm.
All right. I'm going to skip over Marissa's question for the moment because it's a big question and it needs a very, very long answer. Your Twitter question, if you resign, can you go to the CCMA? Yes, you declare a constructive dismissal. And the definition of a constructive dismissal is that your employer has made your working environment so intolerable that you had no other choice to resign. Okay. Please understand, this is very difficult in law to prove, all right? And good luck with that. Please don't declare a constructive dismissal if you have been sick for a long period of time because of your employer and because the definition is your working environment. You must have worked. Okay. If you are in an engineering firm and they swear all the time and you have put up with this for the last 5 years, but somebody swears at you and that's the straw that breaks the camel's back, honestly, it's not a constructive dismissal.
Okay. Absolutely makes sense. What is the status of the CCMA and what powers does it have?
The CCMA has actually broadened their powers and funnily enough, there are amendments in the Labour Relations Act and we call that the LRA in order to bring back some of what is going to the Labour Court so that it can be heard quicker and so that the process can be more simpler and easy for the employee.
Okay.
Now, let's talk about...
So compared to the main court, is it like a lower court status?
No.
The reason why I'm asking is that I'm wondering whether there are people that have a perception. I suppose I've heard this at the back of my head without previously articulating it, Natasha, whether people will think, CCMA, it's right up there with small claims. Maybe I'll get a little bit of help, but it seems like if I really want to fight, you must go to the proper courts, as it were.
I get you, Eusebius, and thank you for it very much for bringing that up because you cannot go anywhere in an employment dispute if you have not knocked on the CCMA's door.
I did not know that.
Okay, the CCMA is in charge of trying to resolve all employment disputes. So you need the CCMA or the bargaining councils, depending on which industry you belong to. Mm. If it's the motor industry, then you go to MIBCO, for instance. If it's the metal engineering industry, you go to the MEIBC.
Okay.
Shall
we take some more calls? We've got millions, or shall we? Is there a question we want to deal with? Things like corporate culture is very hard, right? Because one understands the injustice being experienced with any form of oppression and just workplace wellness that hasn't been attended to. But is that not, that's presumably not part of the remit?
It is completely pervasive. It happens more and more often. It's happened to me. I don't know if it's happened to you. And it's something that needs to be dealt with. And what we normally say with sexual harassment, especially if you are the recipient of the sexual harassment, please put down your boundaries. But you know, Eusebius, the labor courts are becoming more and more alive to what is going on out there. They are one of the courts that are really at the coalface of employment. And there's been a fantastic judgment that has just come out, written by Judge Claude Clarimage, who used to be a CCMA commissioner. On sexual harassment. It has just come out and I read it and I just thought, wow. So the courts are catching up and it's time.
And what was the outcome? Did someone get relief?
Yes, it was the perpetrator of the sexual harassment, was given, his dismissal was upheld.
Mm.
All right.
Okay.
He was dismissed and rightfully so.
Mm.
Sexual harassment, as I said, is pervasive. Unfortunately, you do need to take somebody into your confidence. There are guidelines in the LRA, and you do need to tell someone about it. But even if you are seeing it, even if you are seeing the sexual harassment, you yourself can say, "I'm noticing this, and I'm highlighting it." Mm. All right, it's important. We need to oust the perpetrators. And the sooner we do it, the better you will see the workplace.
Henry, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Yes, I can assure you everything at the CCMA side is perfect. It says, what is it going to cost you if you say no to the company when they want you to just resign? You say, go ahead and fire me. It cost me 210,000 rand for lawyer's fees. what did it cost the company or corporate? Cost them $2 million, excluding, that's just their lawyer's fees, excluding what they had to pay settlement. So everything from CCMA side is perfect. Everything after that, once you bring the lawyers in, not so clear, not just black and white. It's a very gray area.
Can I ask you a question, Henry?
Yeah.
Are you telling me that you got a award from the CCMA and you tried to execute on that award? Is that what you're telling us?
No. My wife was a one percenter. In other words, they came to a settlement agreement because they couldn't win the case.
Right.
They committed fraud, and you can't believe what the lawyers can get up to. But because they're big lawyers, I took the lawyer to the CCMA, to the Law Society, but they're protecting him from the law. In the Law Society states, if they open the case, they have to give you a finding. They've refused me a finding 3 times. They're protecting a lawyer because it's a big-shot lawyer from Fesken. Okay? That's wrong. I'm sorry. If you break the law, I can prove you have broken the law. The law must take its course. It's not, the law is not there for people who are in powerful positions. The law is there for everybody, and it has to be the same law.
Okay. There are two questions that flow from, I think, Henry's story that I want to put to you, Natasha. We'll take a quick break, and then we're going to wrap the conversation after this. I think one question there is, once the CCMA has given a ruling, can it be taken on review to another court? Because that obviously has got implications for cost and a process escalation. And secondly, even if both parties respect and will settle for whatever the CCMA's ruling will be, how difficult is the process for the little person if at the CCMA processes your employer rocks up with Natasha on his side, and all you have is yourself? Jane, good morning. Okay, we'll take 2 or 3 more calls, but let's...
CBS Makaiser on 702 and Cape Talk.
John, good morning.
You see, I was dismissed by a bank on the charge of fraud. And upon claiming my pension benefits from a pension company, I was informed that the bank has put a hold on my benefits, so I cannot access them. Such a message had never come through to me from the bank side. Is that something that I can take up with the CCMA? And this is now after the 30 days period.
Okay, good question.
Can I sue the matter?
Good question, John. Do you need more information from John, or will you be able to answer that one?
John, do you think that your dismissal was fair?
I don't believe so.
Then what I would do...
I had seen something to the extent that if it's unfair dismissal, you actually have 90 days. I wanted to verify that with you as well.
So unfair dismissal is 30 days for referral. Unfair labor practice disputes is 90 days for referral. You can ask for condonation, and what I will do is I will quickly go through the condonation route, if I may, Eusebius.
Of course.
Okay. So you're telling the employer, you're telling the commission that you are late, the reasons why you are late, your prospects of success, and why the bank is not going to be prejudiced. I think, under the circumstances, if you believe that you have been either procedurally or substantively unfairly dismissed, or both, all right, go to the CCMA, but please also go to the pension fund adjudicator. I don't know too much about it. It is not my field of expertise. I do know that employers can take a hold on your pension fund benefits, but go and check it out for yourself and declare a dispute. It is also another one of those arbitration houses that are that will adjudicate your dispute for free.
Absolutely. Joe, what is your question? Welcome to the show.
Hi. I was wondering that when you're in a disciplinary hearing and you find out that the chairman of the hearing is being biased towards the company, what is your course of action that you can take?
Do you mean at work?
Yes, at work, yeah. But the human resources has been outsourced by the company. It's an outside person.
Very good question, Joe. Many people will have similar perceptions, whether they're real or not. Many people will feel the same. Des in Randburg. Hello, Des.
Hi. According to CCMA rules, the conciliation meeting is compulsory to be attended. On this occasion, the employer did not attend. What recourse does the employee have? He has now got to go to arbitration, which he is told will take up to 90 days, which means almost for 5 months he's out of pocket for a patently unfair dismissal. What is the recourse for the employee?
Sure. Again, some unfortunate questions, but very useful ones for public education.
And they're very common questions as well. So Joe is undergoing a disciplinary inquiry, and he believes that the chairperson may be biased in favor of the company. If you have a perception that the disciplinary inquiry chairperson is biased, you need to raise that immediately with the disciplinary inquiry chairperson. They may ask you for reasons, and then it's up to them whether or not they decide to recuse themselves. The beauty about that is, please don't complain after the fact. All right, complain right there and then that you don't believe that this disciplinary inquiry chairperson is capable of making a decision that is fair. And that stands you in good stead. Even if the disciplinary inquiry chairperson refuses to recuse himself, that then is cast in stone, and you can use that to your advantage at the CCMA.
Okay.
If the recommendation is
it
your
won't
dismissal.
Be seen as a post hoc attempt to justify why you're aggrieved.
No, you see, Eusebius, and what is post hoc is if you say, you know, I was dismissed, but the disciplinary inquiry chairperson was biased.
Sure.
That's post hoc. You know, then the CCMA commissioner is going to ask you to prove on a balance of probabilities that there was bias. That's very difficult. Mm. That's very difficult under the circumstances. Then, yes, employers don't attend conciliation. They don't. And that's an indication to the employee that they do not want to conciliate. So please, please, please prepare your matter. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about in terms of substantive and procedural fairness.
Okay, we're going to get there in a second, right? The other person obviously was Henry's question.
Yes. Yeah. So once the CCMA has been given a ruling, can it go to review? Of course it can. And that's the beauty about our law, is that if you don't like what the commissioner has said.
And it protects both sides.
Absolutely. The better thing now, because this never used to be the case, is if you're the employee and you have been you've received compensation, the employer has to place 12 months worth of your salary in a trust account. All right.
Nice.
Before they can go to the labor court, and if you have been reinstated, the employer has to put 2 years' salary up into a trust account. And that really then makes the employer think, you know, before it could have been a delay mechanism. Now it really makes the employer think, this is a review application. It is seen as an urgent application. I need to run this, and I need to run this fast because it's costing me
That's money. Fantastic. That speaks to the law trying to be sensitive to the power imbalance.
It speaks to social justice, which is what the CCMA is all about. Then you said, what about the difficulty in terms of the processes?
I've done 3 years of undergraduate law. I would feel very, very nervous to defend myself, particularly if the company rocks up with, I don't know, Dario Milo. Because I don't have the same experience and skill set.
Mm.
How does the CCMA process ensure the same commitment to substantive fairness?
All right, so believe it or not, the only thing that the CCMA commissioner is looking at is substantive fairness and procedural fairness.
Okay, so let's go there. Maybe that ties in nicely.
All right, so substantive fairness is a simple three words, reasonable employer test. All right, is there a rule? Did the employee know of the rule? Has the rule been breached?
Hmm.
All right. And what is the sanction for the breach of the rule? And is that sanction fair and reasonable? And has it been applied consistently? And this is where employers often fall down, because what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And sometimes that doesn't work out like that. And there's these subtle nuances that the employers try to play on. But if they are not working within the parameters of the law in terms of consistency, they are probably not going to pass the reasonable employer test.
You know, that's so important, because the one thing that often makes us, besides thinking that, you know what, it's just too much effort emotionally, let me just find it, I've got another job offer anyway, but to not seek justice for ourselves and social justice is often a sense that, damn it, I didn't keep proper records, I didn't do this, I didn't always cross my T's and dot my I's, and so from a process point of view, I don't stand a chance. And often the layperson does not understand that the court process does pay attention to substantive fairness. And the word substantive, we throw it around if you've done enough legalese. Mm. But it really is a way of saying, while processes matter, real actual justice is even more important.
So I like to call substantive fairness the reason. Mm. And when I go to employers and I prep employers, I say the reasonable reason, okay? Because that's what you have to prove, all right? Don't get sidetracked by everything else. If you can prove the reasonable employer test, or if you can defend the reasonable employer test, that is what the commission is looking for. They're not looking for anything else. And then they're looking for procedural fairness. Procedural fairness is a bit on the side of the employer, all right? It really says to the employer, you need to investigate. Okay, what does that mean? Well, most employers think it means place somebody as a chairperson and hold a disciplinary inquiry. And that, to a certain extent, is true. And what you have to do is you have to give the employee an opportunity to state his case and defend himself. And that means give him all the documents, allow him to see the evidence and prepare, take a decision and give the employee notice of the decision. That is what procedural fairness is all about. Where bias comes in terms of one of our callers is here in procedural fairness.
Mm.
All right. And as I said, please, everybody, bring that to the attention of the disciplinary inquiry chairperson. Sometimes it can be resolved and sometimes it can't. And I think if you follow those very two simple equations, if I can call it that, you stand a good chance of adequately defending yourself at the CCMA.
Final question, a bonus one here from Twitter. Jolene says, Eusebius, doesn't going to the CCMA limit chances of getting another job due to prospective employers thinking you'll take them to the CCMA in future? I really like this question because in a country where unemployment levels are so incredibly high and there's a downturn in the economy and we're all struggling to make ends meet, someone may have, at a psychological level, a conflict between, I know I'm entitled to justice, with, I also don't want to get a reputation in the industry.
Mm. It's the perfect question. I often sit down with my parties and I say to them, you never feel that real sense of retribution, all right? You're talking about either reinstatement or compensation. Mm. That's what you're talking about. It depends on the person,
sure.
All right? But the CCMA awards are not widely distributed at all. It's actually not like the Labour Court, which is an open court and there's open records and you can come and look at the files. Mm. The CCMA is not like that at all. So in terms of the black mark against your name or some sort of reputation, well, you know, I suppose that's the chance you take and try and mitigate it, you know.
Being transparent and raising it if it comes up in another conversation with a prospective employer. Mm. They need to understand the facts behind it, you know, rather than trying not to speak about your past.
Absolutely. And, you know, we all go through black clouds.
Sure.
And the beauty about the choices that we make in our lives is that we learn from them.
Mm.
And the only time we really learn is when we have this black cloud.
Mm. You've been stunning, Natasha. Thank you for coming on, despite your very busy different roles that you play, trying to help people. But thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you very much, Eusebius. I've enjoyed it.
Despite claiming to be nervous, no nerves. You can do this every week.
Thank
Natasha
you.
Moni, as in Fetty Zenmoni, M-O-N-I, Labour Specialist and Director at Moni Attorneys Incorporated.